This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
You stumbled upon an opportunity. I can make you rich. Rich enough to impress a princess.
What would I have to do?
There's a cave of wonders. Bring me the lamp.
Who summons me? I stand by my oath, loyalty to Wishes 3.
I'm kidding. Watch this.
Watch out! You done wound me up. You ain't never had a friend like me.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to Pop Goes the Movies here on the PTV and Pop Feed. I am Andy Atherton, and tonight I'm riding solo. That's right, you got me and only me. I'm here to talk about the 2019 release of Aladdin. That's right, the live-action, if you will, remake of the 1992 classic animated feature. So, this movie, I went in with very low expectations, and I was pleasantly surprised. But before we really get into talking about the new movie, let's take a moment to really talk about the source material, the original 1992 feature starring the late, great Robin Williams. Now, a lot of people, that I know have had issues with some of these Disney live-action remakes. I'm very indifferent. I just want to be entertained. You know, I've seen most of them. I have not seen I had no interest really in the Alice in Wonderland. I want to see Cinderella. I haven't had a chance to. Enjoyed, you know, Beauty and the Beast. I actually enjoyed Dumbo. I didn't hate it. But this movie, you know, the new Aladdin, kind of blew my socks off, I guess, if you will. Like I said, low expectations, but very pleasantly surprised. But back to the 92 movie again. So I remember seeing that. I was in college, actually, and I went with a friend and his friends, you know, four, you know, guys in their, you know, 19, 20 years old, however old we were at the time. And This is where I fell in love with Disney as an adult. Now, I'm a big, anybody who knows me knows I'm a very huge, huge Disney fan. Like, one of my dreams would be to write and do animated voices for Disney movies. And I just got hooked. Like, you know, of course, I was also a big Robin Williams fan. You know, one of my heroes growing up, because of my love of comedy, my love of just his silliness, his scat comedy, just the ability he had to go up on stage and really just only kind of know the subject matter he was going to talk about, and everything else just really just came from his head to his mouth. There was no stoplight. It was just a green light, head, mouth, boom, out, and you heard it and you got entertained. So Robin was just such a force of nature. And that 92 animated movie, you know, he was like the big star, but, you know, there was so much more about that movie to love. The music is incredible. The animation is great. Some of the other voices, you know, the guy who played Aladdin, Scott Weinger, I believe he was better known to fans as, I think it was DJ's boyfriend on Full House. And Linda Larkin, was great as Princess Jasmine. And Jonathan Freeman as Jafar. Probably Jafar is one of my top five Disney villains of all time. Just his the way he just carries himself, and there's a little bit of snarkiness in it. You know, when he would question Prince Ali, you know, he's like, try me. You know, him and Iago, they had really great banter, you know, and that voice, that you'll get your reward, your eternal reward. And Gilbert Gottfried as Iago, I can't believe it. We're never going to find that stupid lamp. Look at me. I'm so ticked off that I'm molting. You know, that was probably, you know, there are, you know, it happens more often nowadays, but that was probably one of the best matches to a character and a voice at that time. Because this was, you got to remember, Aladdin was we're still in the early age of what they call Waking Sleeping Beauty, which was kind of the second golden era of Disney animated movies, which really started with Little Mermaid in 1989, moved on to, you know, Beauty and the Beast in 91, Aladdin in 92, and then I think Pocahontas was next. I'm not sure. And then Lion King, and I actually think Pocahontas followed up Lion King, and then you had Hunchback and all that stuff. So it was still relatively early in this golden age, and it was just a magical movie. And then, you know, that was back when they were doing all those direct-to-video sequels that were kind of cheaply done, you know, and Robin had an issue with Disney over, I think it was rights to his voice or something without his consent, or he wouldn't sign something, and they replaced him actually on Return of Jafar, the sequel, with Dan Castellaneta, who was better known as the voice of Homer Simpson. And then Robin, it was a big deal when Robin came back for Aladdin and the King of Thieves, the third installment in the Aladdin franchise. And, that's, you can't help but go in and it's kind of hard to avoid comparing this new 2019 release to the 92. And you kind of, you know, go in there, you got to have fresh eyes as much as you can. And I just got transported back kind of to 1992 when I saw it. I knew, of course, this time I knew all the words to the songs. My kids caught me, like, you know, kind of dancing in my seat a little bit with some of the songs. I mean, they did make some changes. I'll talk about that later on when we get to spoilers. But, you know, I'm just going to give some general, you know, thoughts on this movie as it is, you know. Let's kind of go over the cast list. So we had, everybody know Will Smith was the genie, and he also played Mariner, which we'll talk about in a minute. And then Mina Massoud, I hope I pronounced some of these names right, as Aladdin, Naomi Scott as Jasmine, Marwin Kenzari as Jafar, Navid Negavan as the Sultan, Nassim Pedrad as Dala, and, Alan Tudyk as Iago. He's kind of become like a modern day, good luck charm for Disney, I guess, so to speak. He's kind of like how John Ratzenberger is with Pixar. Alan Tudyk is now showing up in like every movie doing a voice. You know, he's been in Wreck-It Ralph's. He's been, I believe he was in one of the last animated features. I think he might have been in Moana. I think he was in a few others. And so anyway, going in, you know, they change a few things. You know, you can't do everything like you could in animation. I mean, Robin was a cartoon character anyway, so he probably just did his whole thing, and they just said, "Shit, we'll just animate it after. Let Robin go, and you know, let him do Jack Nicholson or William F. Buckley or what's his name? I can't bring people back from the dead." What was his name? I can't remember. Anyway, somebody's going to Google it and yell at me. But, you know, this was, I got to say, it was a solid movie. Guy Ritchie, I was like, you know, had low expectations for him because, you know, he's really only good with, in my opinion, I've only enjoyed his British fare. Like, anything he's done, you know, non-British, I haven't really enjoyed. And it's been some interesting pairings, you know, with some of these directors with these Disney movies. I mean, we had Tim Burton with Dumbo, and you wouldn't kind of think of that. And then when people announced that it was Guy Ritchie directing Aladdin, it's kind of like, ooh, really? Don't know about that. But, you know, it was a solid movie. It had a very Bollywood feel, I guess, so to speak. I haven't really seen much Bollywood movie, but it had, you know, a nice dance number, which seems like something in Bollywood. There were some changes, you know, there were some characters added. There were some differences in some scenes, which, you know, I enjoyed. I did not have a problem with anything. I thought Will Smith did a really good job. You know, he did not try to be Robin Williams. You know, you can't. I mean, if you're going to take over an iconic character that, you know, people today, you know, look, I was, you know, like I said, I was about 19, 20 years old when the first one came out. I mean, most people today, you know, are probably around, you know, not most people, but most parents of kids that, you know, that have kids of age that would go to this movie are probably, you know, in their mid to late 30s, because that means that makes them about 8 to 10 years old when this came out. This is their childhood. And people need to understand that, you know, Will wasn't trying to be Robin. Nobody could be Robin. And he just did his own job. I mean, if you had never seen the 92 original, you would walk out of this just you know, you would just be loving this movie. You have a big smile, eye to eye. Now, look, do we need these remakes? Yes and no. I mean, I just want to be entertained in the movie. I would like to see original material. But if Disney's going to do this, they're going to do these remakes because, you know what, they own the IP. And for, $150 million investment, they can make, like, you know, upwards of, like, $600 million worldwide, at least, on all these. And, yeah, I think they're going to do it. So, might as well just embrace it. You can choose, vote with your dollars. If you don't want to see these, don't go. But if you just want to get enjoyed, look, not all of them are going to hit. There's going to be stinkers. And some of these probably won't translate. But, you know, I just love Aladdin so much. My kids wanted to see it, too. That I could not see this movie. Yeah, in the summer movie wager contest, I'm trying to remember where I placed them. But if I'm going to see if I can access that quickly or not while I'm talking here. And I don't think I can. But it was Aladdin was kind of not that high on a lot of people's lists. It was, you know, I don't think anybody had it above 5, maybe? I mean, I had it at number 8. So, let's see. Russell had it at 8. So did Scott. Jenny had it at 4, which, you know, she may prove to be smarter than the rest of us. Depends on how it does this weekend against Godzilla. Tim had it at 7. Miranda didn't even have it on our list. Miranda, I love you, baby. But, you know, should have had him on there. And then other people playing the game, you know, Mr. Reach had it at 4, Greg had it at 5, Jason had it at 6, Nick had it at 7, and the manager, Mr. Weber, had it at number 5. So, yeah, most of us had it in the same general ballpark. I mean, I had it lower than I expected, but, you know, it's still early. Who knows? It could do much better. But so I really want to talk about some spoilers. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a really quick break, and we're going to, you know, hear a word from Place to Be Nation. We're going to come back, and I'm going to spoil it. So, I'm Andy Atherton. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our previous podcasts over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And be sure to join us at our forum at Bigelow34.proboards.com for all sorts of wrestling, sports, and pop culture discussion each and every day, where you can make your voice heard. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
On your block to meet his eye. Make way, here he comes. Ring bells, bang the drums. You're gonna love this guy, Prince Ali. Fabulous, he Ali Ababwa. Show some respect, boy, you flex down on one knee. Now try your best to stay calm. Brush up your Friday salon. Then come and meet a spectacular coterie.
Welcome back to Pop Goes the Movies here on the PTBN Pop Feed. That's right. I am Andy Atherton, and we're talking about, I am talking about the movie Aladdin, the 2019 live-action Disney remake. But first, before we get into the spoiler section, let's talk about a little bit what's going on here at Place to Be Nation. Over here on the book feed, after a two-year hiatus, the dad cast is back. That's right. JT and Don talk about a variety of annoyances, including potty training, lying, Nickelodeon shows, and more, like Nicky, Ricky, Dicky, Dawn, and Sleepy, Sneezy, Doc, Dopey, Fuzzy, Happy. I don't know. All I know is I've been there for all those. My kids are a little older than Justin, so I can sympathize. Luckily, now they're a bit older, so I don't have to sit through a lot of this crap. And kids have been long potty trained. I mean, 17 and 12, if they weren't potty trained, I'd be a dad fail. Colossal. So, a show that I recently listened to, Talkin' Pop, is back with Jenny and Tim. They were joined by Steve and Kelly of Songs with Friends for a very special double date and lots of interesting conversation. Awesome episode. Love Talkin' Pop. You guys got to check that out. And check out Songs with Friends. Kelly and Steve do a great job over there. On one of my shows, Laughing Theater, I welcome the wonderful Jennifer Smith. We talked about the iconic 1994 movie Dumb and Dumber. That's right. That is one of Jenny's favorite movies and a favorite of lots of the P2BN people, peeps, whatever you want to call us. Actually, there's a project in the works. Since it has been 25 years since 1994, we may be doing some 1994-related material around these parts. So check it out over on PlaceToBeNation.com every Friday. Starting, I don't know if it's starting this week, but we're starting very soon. It's going to be like almost like a flashback Friday thing, but all the articles are going to be 1994-centric. So we're going to talk about the sports, the movies, the music, pop culture, everything that happened 25 years ago when most of you were like, you know, 10, 12 years old probably. The Hard Traveling Fanboys, Mr. Duke and Mr. Phillips, they delivered an installment of Countdown looking at Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes. And Adam and Andrew, the NBA team, stopped in to talk about the Pelicans hitting the draft lottery jackpot and what it means for the franchise. Also, be sure to keep an eye on social media feeds as the reboot of the Greatest Songs of the 80s tournament is starting soon. That's right. We won't let any Russian bots keep us down. Since the Candy Tournament was a great success, we are actually going to be doing the 80s Song Tournament reboot through Facebook. Lots of polls, lots of songs. We're going to whittle it down. And, you know, it's going to be a fun summer project. And then, you know, who knows what the next tournament will be in the fall. But let's get through the Songs Tournament. Hope to spark some great conversation. Make sure we didn't miss anything centerfold in this one. And then over on the PTVN Wrestling feed, in the fifth episode of Row 1, Seat 1, it was all about the music as Ben Zanny and a gaggle of guests talked touring the country with prominent 90s bands, hardcore music and wrestling, of course, the Boston and the Boston Bruins Stanley Cup run. Chris Zellner and Devin Hales returned for the Money in the Bank 2019 reaction show. And, of course, over on Place to Be Nation's main event, Scott Criscolo, Nate Millen, Steve Willey previewed Double or Nothing and Money in the Bank with the newest edition of Main Event. Also, check out the Place to Be podcast. Those guys are in a bit of a run right now. We got a few shows coming out. They talked about a show at the Meadowlands from 1989, leading into SummerSlam. And then they have Saturday Night's Main Event with, I think, Peter Winston's their guest. Jacob Williams was on the Jambalaya King, was on the last episode. So check it out over at the social media pages and message boards at bigelow34.proboards.com. And join the GWWE pay-per-view TV and match Greatest Match Ever project. Get in the conversation and start researching your list. So, back to Aladdin. That's right, we're going to talk spoilers. So look, you know, there are some differences from the 92 movie. But even if you've seen that, some things could get spoiled. So I'm going to give you a warning. Go away. Pause. Actually, don't go away. Listen to my show. I love you guys. But, you know, pause the show. Go watch Aladdin and come back and listen to my spoiler talk. And then, you know, see if you agree, disagree, not like. So here we go. I'm going to give you one chance to hop a carpet and fly to Arabian Night and come back. Okay, so you're still here. Let's spoil the movie. Or just kind of talk in depth with no handcuffs on, I guess, or no, you know, restrictions. So the movie opens up with Will Smith, similar to how the animated feature 92 opened up, where Robin Williams was singing Arabian Nights, and then he did that little, you know, spiel as the pitchman, I guess, so to speak, with talking about hookahs and julienning fries and guarantee not to break. It broke. And the Dead Sea Tupperware, you know, kind of stuff. And this time it was Will Smith, you know, as he was called the merchant or the marine or whatever he was. And he was on a boat talking to, I guess, his kids, and he was telling the story. So that was a little difference there. And then we had, you know, the first big song in the movie, One Jump Ahead, which featured actually Princess Jasmine, who was not in that song. So right there, I was like, oh, they're going to turn some things from the original story on their head. And I kind of enjoyed it, actually. Like I said earlier in the show, though, my love of Disney is very, very high. Well, the animated movies, at least, you know. And one thing I always kind of wanted to do was I always wanted to kind of get my master's degree in film history. And a class I wanted to teach was all about Disney films. And my midterm project would be, you know, talking about the music of Disney. And One Jump Ahead, if you have the original or just look it up on YouTube or whatever from the 92 animated movie, listen to the song, but close your eyes. Try not to listen to the lyrics. Try not to listen to any of the words, you know, and just listen how the instruments tell the story. You know, listen to Todd Weber, the manager here at Place Creation Pop. He's a big music guy, and you know, I think Todd really could really teach you guys something on that. And I, you know, hopefully he agrees with me. You just close your eyes and just listen to the story and how the instruments tell it. You know, it's like listening to like Fantasia kind of stuff. You know, it's like, how would you animate to this? How do you tell a story without using words? And even without the One Jump lyrics, it still tells a story. But that was our first introduction. You know, Abu was cute as the monkey, the live monkey, whatever you want to call him. You know, it goes through. I thought, you know, the actors portraying Aladdin and Jasmine did a very good job. The actor, I had to get used to Jafar, though. That was one thing. Jafar was very tall and lanky. You know, as much as I try to put it out of my head, you know, it didn't take away from my enjoyment of the film. Don't get me wrong. But Jafar, you know, was much more imposing, an imposing figure in the 92 version, where he was tall and he was lanky, but he was, you know, he stood above everybody. And this one, Jafar was about, yeah, regular size, I guess. But he was more focused on he was more of a con man, I think, the way that Jafar was portrayed in this one. You know, I thought Iago had some funny lines. He wasn't as much as a character, though. You know, he was more like, you know, kind of hit the punchline, punch buttons, I guess, with some of his lines. He wasn't more of like, you know, a menace. Because Iago's pretty evil, you know, when you think about it. In terms of, at least in the first movie, you know, in the sequels, I think he becomes a good guy. Who gives a shit? But, you know, let's see, what else was it? What were the difference? You know, there was less. Abu spent a lot less time as an elephant in this one. I think he spent like literally like half the other movie as the elephant, and I think it was very short. It was mostly for the Prince Ali number and a little bit after that because. You know, not enough, you know, the whole click, 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 click. You know, like I said, Will Smith did his own spin. He wasn't trying to be Robin Williams. He wasn't, you know, he did a great job with just being Will Smith as a genie. Now, I saw a discussion earlier, like, who would have been a great other choice? And somebody said The Rock. And I do think The Rock would have been, but I think Will, there was just something about Will that, you know, The Rock probably would have been a little too big, I guess, an imposing figure when he's not in blue genie form. I guess, you know, Will, you know, was, you know, I didn't mind the blue genie part, actually. You know, it's a little jarring because you see this, like, goofy caricature from 92, where you can put him and make him be anything yourself, anything you wanted to be, actually, when you're an animator. And then Will, you know, basically they just made him blue and they kind of genied him up, I guess, so to speak. My daughter was a little disappointed because her favorite one of our favorite parts in the original was when the genie is a bee flying around. Aladdin, he's like, be yourself. Oh, no, Mayday. So that was, she was a little disappointed there, but she still enjoyed it. I think my kids liked the movie a little bit better, just seeing the way how much I enjoyed it, because I was just so into the movie and just mouthing the words along. And a pleasant addition was Nassim Pedrad. Her character, not in the original, as a handmaiden, and it was a, you know, I mean, it made Jasmine, you know, her cover story, I guess, for made more sense in this one. She didn't reveal herself because they didn't take him. The one thing they didn't do was Aladdin didn't go to the dungeon for stealing or whatever, you know, where she thinks he was dead. He gets taken away, I guess, by Jafar, because he tries to break into the palace to give her bracelet back, and he gets caught instead of, like, you know, the old man part of in the with the Cave of Wonders scene. I thought the Cave of Wonders was pretty cool. I mean, it was a little more terrifying, though, being live action with live lava everywhere, you know, and kind of scary. But he, you know, it was, I love the community narration. I think they used the same voice. I think it was Peter Welling, I think the guy, same guy, Frank Welker, I think, who did the original voice of, let me look that up. Frank Welker, yeah, the guy who did the voice of Optimus Prime. He also did the voice of the Cave of Wonders. And I think they kept that. But back to Nassim Pedrad. So a very funny Saturday Night Live. This is like her first big movie. And I really love how the love story kind of started between the genie and her. And when at the end, spoiler, we're in the spoiler section, when the genie gets set free, and I think he becomes human, I guess, you know, they get together. It turned out that she was the woman that you couldn't see her face on the boat in the beginning of the movie when Will Smith, his character, starts telling the story to the kids about it. So that made for a nice little bookend. There was no giant snake. I was a little disappointed in that. I kind of wanted to see it on the big screen. And what they did was instead, you know, they just made him torture people, basically. You know, they didn't do Jasmine in the Hourglass, which would have been interesting as well. But, you know, they tried to do the wedding thing, and you know, they did the whole thing, the phenomenal cosmic power in any living space bit again. Yeah, instead of the snake, though, we got a giant Iago, which kind of looked, I think, a little terrifying if you have a thing against birds, and somebody out there knows who I'm talking about. I could just imagine what their face was like, you know, when you see this giant parrot basically terrifying you, looking like the size of, like, you know, God, like in one of those fantasy movies with those giant flying things. I thought that was a nice twist. It gave a little chase with the carpet. I thought the carpet was the same as the first one. You know, like on the whole, though, the Sultan did a good job. The Sultan was not as blubbering, I guess, in this one. Not as much of a fool. He was more just normal. I enjoyed the Bollywood type dance number they had. Like I said earlier, it was a good time. You know, I'm questioning why Disney would kind of not blow their load. I mean, Disney's got, you know, they're going to end up with probably arguably the top six or top eight movies this summer in terms of box office. I mean, look, you know, under the Disney umbrella, you have Avengers Endgame, Lion King, Toy Story 4, Spider-Man, Aladdin, and, Dark Phoenix, I guess, if you want to count that one. So that's like six probably movies in the top 10, at least. So, you know, I don't think they needed to release both The Lion King and Aladdin in the same summer. They probably should have saved one but, you know, they kind of guess they have, you know, Star Wars coming. They have, who the fuck knows when Avatar is coming. Amongst other things, I don't know if Mary Poppins is going to get another installment. You know, the Emily Blunt one kind of underperformed, I guess, in their opinion. But so I would recommend it, though. If you haven't seen it and you actually listen to this, go see it. If you have, share your thoughts on Facebook, on, you know, the website, which this pod will be posted on. So, yeah, I just hope everybody enjoyed Aladdin. You know, it's a fun movie. So it gives a thumbs up. I would honestly give it like a 7 out of 10. I mean, I was very pleasantly surprised walking out of this movie. And I hope you were too. So that's going to be it. That's going to bring a close to my shortest podcast of ever. I finally actually did a pod blast, so you speak. See what happens when you have anybody to talk to? Well, hopefully next time on my next show, on the next Pop Goes the Movies, which, you know, is a collaborative effort here at Place to Be Nation. You know, we like to try to get different voices on these shows, hopefully different matchups, so to speak, different pairings. But I believe we're going to have a Rocketman one coming soon. I know Scott Criscolo is really keen to do that one. After that, there's going to be a Godzilla King of Monsters. And then A Men in Black International, I think, is the next big movie after that. And there's definitely going to be Spider-Man Far From Home. I know that Hard Traveling Fern Boys, Nick and Gray, are going to do something. And we may do like a companion one, kind of like what we did with Endgame, where we did different takes on the same material. And, you know, Toy Story 4... Hobbs and Shaw. You know, we're gonna try to hit Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. We're gonna try to hit all the big summer movies and give you guys some good discussion, hopefully. So check out my latest shows. Just this week went up the latest episode of The Year in Pop, 1975. That was myself, my co-host, Mr. Scott Criscolo, Dr. G. George Rivellino, and J.R. Senior D'Amato, as we talked about the year 1975. Awesome year. We talked, you know, what's it called? The Springsteen album, Born to Run. We talked about the Thriller in Manila. We went over like the, you know, the Jeffersons, the Super Friends. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which is on my Shameless, and I got shit for it. And Jaws. Also, we had Laughing Theater, Dumb and Dumber. Also, I have a new episode of Laughing Theater coming next week with Miss Miranda Berthold, will be my guest, and it's going to tie into a summer release. So stay tuned for that. And then Great Debate will be back in June. Looking forward to looking back. We probably won't be back till the fall. But, you know, who knows? What could happen? So check out all of our feeds. You're on Place to Be Nation Pop and Place to Be Nation Wrestling. Check out the website, placetobenation.com. Go on Facebook. Like all of our pages. Like all of our stuff. Go to the website, placetobenation.com. The only place to be in pop culture world. So for Pop Goes the Movie, I am Andy Atherton. And we'll see you at the movies. Take care, everybody.
You ain't never had a friend like me.
Chocolate? Fucking chocolate?
Oh God!